hear from Dr. Bob Harmon from the Duval County Department of Health.
I would first like to recognize some colleagues from Florida who are out in the audience. Tom Herring is our Chief of Informatics in the Department of Health Central Office. Tom, are any other colleagues here that you know of? We have several people here from mostly central office and program systems areas, and we'll talk about that as we go through. I'm going to talk about a broader subject, just the overall informatics capacity activities in a large local health department. Duval County is Jacksonville, Florida. It's consolidated city-county government. It's in the northeast corner of Florida. It was in the path of Hurricane Irene, but it's veered off to the east. My concerns and condolences go out to our colleagues in North Carolina and other places where that big hurricane is headed, and we need to keep them in our thoughts. Besides being director of a large county health department, by the way, we serve around 900,000 people. Our budget has shrunk to around $48 million a year. We peaked at around $62 million. I've been there 5 years. Our staff has shrunk from 946 to 700. And yet we're still very committed to health IT and informatics. So I put up there some of my informatics activities, what I chair. I co-chair the Department of Health statewide HMS electronic health record steering committee, which Tom staffs and his boss is the co-chair on. I'll talk about that. I chair a RIO, the Northeast Florida Health Informatics Consortium, and I chair NACHO's Public Health Informatics Work Group, and serve on some other groups I'll talk about. So people ask me, okay, so what do you do in your spare time? I don't know. I do this because I find it really interesting. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the people. I think it is one of the major cutting edges of public health. I've been doing public health for a long time. Prior to Florida, I was the Missouri State Health Director for 4 years. I was the HRSA Administrator for 3 years in the early 90s. And I also ran a big county health department earlier in my career, Maricopa County, Phoenix, for 5 years in the early 80s. And it's really interesting to go back, especially after HRSA, and see how things operate on the ground. And informatics, health IT, has been a major change in how public health is delivered. So what are we doing locally? And we also work very closely with the state. By the way, I'm a state employee, and Florida has a unified state and local public health system. We have about 17,000 employees statewide. I think about 14,000 are in the county health departments. We have 67 of them. And we have common systems for public health programs, for finance, for HR, and so forth. It's one reason I took this job, because I knew about the Florida public health system and how it's pretty well coordinated. It's a large organization with those challenges, but very well coordinated and does a lot in that fashion. I've worked in other states, Missouri, the locals were independent, and in Arizona, the locals were independent. It's just harder to get things done. And the NACHO survey is really interesting for me to look at, having worked in several states and been the HRSA administrator. So my answer to all those questions is basically yes. We're doing most of those things. We were doing them before the stimulus started because there was a lot going on before I got there, and we have really tried to step up and get out in front of these things because I think they're very important. So given that, how do we get it done? I'll talk about we have an Institute for Public Health Informatics and Research, which My predecessor, Jeff Goldhagen, he's an academic pediatrician. He was there for 12 years before I arrived in 06. He started it. It had a different name. It was the Center for Healthcare Policy Evaluation and Research, and I put the name Informatics in it. If we change it, I'll probably keep if we go to ePublic Health, I'm not going to put ePublic Health in the name. I'll just probably keep Informatics, because Informatics is a component of ePublic Health, of course. I'll talk about our exchange projects. I'll talk about our big EHR project. Beside talking about meaningful use from receiving other people's EHR data, I'm going to talk about another side of meaningful use, and that is we hope that all 67 county health departments in Florida will get meaningful use Medicaid bonuses when we finish launching our statewide EHR and get it certified and achieve meaningful use. I'll talk about that and other health IT projects. So our research institute, it was headed up by a guy named Bill Livingood, who some of you know, a very bright academician, a PhD. He took an early retirement. He's out consulting now, but he still helps us out. His administrator was Thomas Bryant, who now runs it, reports to me. It contains not only research and evaluation, but I moved the health IT unit over into it and our quality improvement unit, trying to take advantage of the intersection of all those things. So end of last fiscal year, last June, we had around 22 FTE, full-time equivalent staff, budget of around $2 million. I would say the IT is about two-thirds of it, and the research and evaluation is about one-third of it. At that time, there were about 24 research and demonstration evaluation projects that were about $700,000, the budget, with mostly internal money, but some outside money coming in on research from CDC, ARC, private foundations, NIH, and so forth. This group is really good at writing proposals, and that was big help, especially during stimulus period, and it staffs a lot of projects I'll talk about. So that's basically how I'm getting a lot of this stuff done. I can delegate a lot and just do policy external stuff, and they do the internal stuff. I'm sorry, question? Yes. Yes, good question. We are a very academic health department. We have been running the Florida Public Health Practice-Based Research Network with several universities. In Northeast Florida, that would be the University of Florida College of Medicine campus in Jacksonville, main campus Gainesville, big campus Jacksonville. I'm on faculty there. I'm an internist as well as preventive medicine specialist, so it's Department of Medicine. They do not have a Department of Preventive Medicine. I work with the College of Public Health in Gainesville. They're newly accredited. And I work with the College of Health at the University of North Florida. They have a large nursing program. They just started an informatics program, actually. I helped them start that. I'm on faculty there. I do some teaching there. But we have academic affiliations with over two dozen colleges and universities, and we have more than 350 students and interns and residents who come through every year. We are a major primary care pediatric teaching center in several of our clinics with the University of Florida. And we do a lot of primary care. That's another important point. A third of our revenue is Medicaid. Florida county health departments do a lot of primary care. That's one reason we're launching this big EHR statewide. It'll also serve preventive services. But almost 60% of Florida county health departments still do primary care, and we bring in a lot of Medicaid revenue. So that's one way we've been able to get through these tough times. We have Medicaid revenue. We have cost-based reimbursement, which is two or three times the average Medicaid reimbursement. It covers the preventive and wraparound services. And it gives us revenue, which goes into a trust fund, and that's how we're funding a number of health IT projects, such as the statewide EHR. A fair amount of that is coming out of the County Health Department Trust Fund, and we have a panel, a committee that decides how that money is spent on special projects. And so far, we've been able to get unanimous votes. Yes, we should invest reserves in the statewide electronic health record and our health IT, even though we're cutting other places in our budgets. The biggest cut I've had, by the way, the past several years is we got rid of jail medical care. We had been doing that for 3 years. Some years it was profitable, some it wasn't. We sent it back to the city of Jacksonville, and that accounted for about half of our budget cuts. So the projects that our institute helps me carry out, it staffs this RIO, this consortium I'll describe in a little more detail, helps me chair that. It provides, we supply data too from our electronic health record, mostly claims type data right now, into an exchange, the Northeast Florida Health Information Exchange, also called the Jacksonville Health Information Network. I'm on the board of that. We do QI studies through that exchange and through our own electronic records and paper records. We have had a contract to recruit enrollees into a regional extension center project. We recruited all the county health departments in a 41-county region we're in to participate in that. And we recruited clinicians for Duval County. We didn't do so well on that. We didn't hit our target. So very involved with an REC. I'm on the steering committee for that. And then this research unit oversees pilot projects. We've done e-prescribe pilot. I think we're the only county health department in the state that did that. Got us ready for the next phase. And some modules for the statewide EHR. We did adult health, piloted that. Writes reports and articles in refereed journals. We write a regular column in the Northeast Florida Journal of Medicine, but other larger journals. And it helps to coordinate various categorical program health IT projects, such as Essence syndromic surveillance and so forth. One way I oversee stuff, all of these projects in the local health department, is I have a monthly meeting called the Health IT Steering Committee, and it involves a lot of the research staff, but also program IT staff, informatics staff, mainly from disease control, people who do Essence and disease reporting through Merlin. That's our state system and so forth. So that helps two things. It helps me keep up with what they're doing, and then I report back all the cool stuff from meetings like this and help them see the big picture. The consortium, the RIO, I started that in 07. It covers now six counties, involves a large group of partners. I have an org chart in a moment. It's won some grants. It won a state grant called the Florida Health Information Network, the FIN, around a little over $400,000 from the state Medicaid agency in Florida, Agency for Healthcare Administration, to upgrade our local network, the JHIN. And then we had a big project awarded by CMS, a $12 million project. Before the stimulus days, that was designed to do a controlled trial of the benefits of electronic health records and launch in one group and not in another group. But it was superseded by the stimulus, and they canceled the whole thing because the stimulus was much bigger than a demonstration. But we did win that competitively. The consortium is very involved in the REC project. Some of the other partners handle the rural counties. And we did apply for a beacon. We did not win a beacon, but this consortium was the applicant, and we were the, it was the organization that applied. We were the lead partner and the applicant. At least we tried. So it includes an advisory committee of a lot of nonprofits and commercial entities. Cerner, which powers our local exchange, is on that. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida is a major participant. Availity, you might know them. They're a claims intermediary network, multi-state. They're actually national now. They're based in Jacksonville. They attend. We have a tech committee of some other entities. But the main participants would be the medical society, the county, the exchange board. I'll talk a little more about that. We have an operating exchange. Academics, University of Florida College of Medicine. This is a rural health network run by the Planning Council. The Veterans Health System participates. They want to do more, but they have to get approval from their region in Washington, D.C. to do almost anything, so that's not easy. Our consumer inputs, United Way. This was another Rio wannabe, which is not doing much these days. Health Department, University of North Florida, they have a computer science department, and they're launching this informatics degree. And the Area Health Education Center and the Navy. Jacksonville's a big Navy town, so a DOD is Navy in Jacksonville. They want to do more, but they have to get approval from the Pentagon, so it's hard to get things exchanged and moving with the Navy, but we're trying. And good participation. They're doing some great things on their own. They just have trouble sharing it, even including between Navy and VA. Other activities by this consortium, proposals, promoting utilization of EHRs and HIE, sharing best practices. We have endless vendors that want to get in front of us. Some of that's pretty interesting, so we usually have a vendor presentation. They are coordinating with statewide HIE. Harris Corporation out of Melbourne, Florida is our statewide vendor. They also are one of the developers of the NHIN, Connect and Direct and all that. It serves as a RIO. It's more than just an exchange. It really is a regional health information organization. And it serves as an advisory council to the exchange. And we promote educational conferences. I couldn't do all that without the Research Institute staff. And how do we pay for that? Well, some grants, but some of that's just plain old state general revenue. I think it's important, so we keep doing that. The exchange used to be called JaxCare, which was a health plan for the working poor, but it did create this exchange for the uninsured and Medicaid called the JHIN. This is where I interact with the hospital CEOs. They're starting to get it when it comes to HIE. They are spending millions on their own multi-hospital system HIEs to connect their own hospitals, if there's more than one, and their practice networks, especially those they control. And so we're trying to upgrade our local or regional exchange, but that's going to cost $4 million over 4 years, $1 million a year. Cerner's the main bidder on that. And we haven't taken the leap yet because these hospitals are spending a lot of money on their own exchanges. That's their first priority. Then the next is to build a regional exchange, probably with a repository, and then connect to the statewide. So we're pretty involved in Cerner. Cerner, of course, does those most of those hospital EHR systems. And is very involved in HIE as well. I think they have the contract for Missouri. They were a finalist for the Florida contract, did not get it, and may end up powering our upgraded regional exchange. This is our regional exchange, the Jacksonville Health Information Network. What do we have till 9:30, Valerie? Okay. On the lower left, we have the hospitals in Greater Jacksonville. And we have Memorial and HCA Hospital. They use Meditech for their EHR. They're a good partner. They're supplying a lot of data to the Cerner repository. And again, this is Medicaid and uninsured patient data, more than 200,000 patients. They have to get approval from HCA for a lot of the stuff they do, which is a challenge. But they're a good partner. You notice the arrow goes mostly one way. We have a utilization problem with our exchange. They're busy. ER and other clinicians don't always find the time to use the data that are in the exchange. Baptist Health is Cerner. They're a five-hospital system. They're local. They can make some pretty quick decisions. They have been using the data somewhat, supplying data. Shands Jacksonville, that's a big academic center. Their hospital system has been McKesson. They're moving to Epic. They have a new executive vice president over all health sciences in Gainesville, and he decided, to his credit, to make a big leap to Epic. And that's a $60 million project. So they're very busy with that. St. Vincent and St. Luke's, that's Ascension Health. They're a Cerner customer. They're not using it much. They are supplying. Mayo is Cerner. Mayo is not yet providing. They don't do a lot of Medicaid or uninsured, but they've been a good partner, encouraging us on and developing a strategy. Mayo corporate plans a strategy for exchange to go directly to the NHIN, and you might have seen their announcement with Kaiser Permanente and some other big health plan systems to do that. So they're trying to figure out how that's going to work. Brooks is a rehab hospital system using Meditech. Wolfson Children's Hospital uses Cerner, and it belongs to Baptist. So on the ambulatory side, here's the health department. We are one of the biggest suppliers of ambulatory data. So we're involved in the exchange, and we're the biggest user of the data. And it's not my doctors. I have 36 clinicians who are enrolled in the REC to be meaningful users, about 24 physicians, about 12 physician assistants and nurse practitioners. But I tried to get them to use it. They don't find the data useful enough because it's mostly claims-type data right now. There's not enough lab results in there, x-ray results, hospital discharge summaries. It needs to be upgraded. But I found the people who really are willing to use it are the nurse case managers in high-risk maternity, high-risk infant, as well as in our disease management program.
Yes.
Bob, does this slide suggest that if a patient goes to the Duval County Health Department and then shows up at Baptist Health, that record, that encounter can be seen?
Yeah, there are daily and weekly feeds of those encounters, claims-type data. Now, I wish it were more lab results, so forth and so on.
What's holding that up?
The upgrade. The $4 million upgrade. This started as a grant, HRSA grant program, and so it's only uninsured, only Medicaid. The upgrade would be all payers, multi-county. We just have one extra county in here right now. The next level, and then a massive amount of training, encouragement, hand-holding. Utilization is a problem with exchanges. In case you have one, I hope you have high utilization because that's a big accomplishment. Yes?
If someone goes to the hospital, like if I'm a doc at Duval County Health Department, do I know when I come in on Monday morning that one of my patients has shown up?
If you're checking the JHIN or if your nurse is checking it for you, and that's where we need to do more work. We're checking occasionally, but it's not a routine thing. It's an extra portal, extra amount of work for the clinician. But the maternity nurse case managers would know because they would check. And the diabetes disease case managers would know. It's generally people who sit in front of a workstation who have the time to check these exchanges. And it doesn't go right into our electronic health record. In fact, we're not there at a fully grown electronic health record. That's one of my other slides. Yes? Yeah, well, that's certainly what we've found. I wish it were different. I mean, I've really twisted some arms, but they say, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to spend more time in front of a computer or see more patients? That is correct.
Do you have a medical home
model? We do. We have teams, that's right. Right. And we have a plan to get everybody using computers, and that's when we completely launch our EHR and have the physicians on handhelds and things like that. Yes?
What vendor is Florida going with for the EHR? Is that Cerner also?
It is a hybrid. It is mostly homegrown, and I do have some slides on that. And we have vendor partners, which I will mention. It is not Cerner. We did present, by the way, on Monday about the Florida statewide electronic health record. Those slides are available on the website. It was Monday at 1:30, and Tom helped present on it. Anyway, so there we are, right in the middle of this exchange. Sulzbach, by the way, we're also at FQHC. I have 5 sites, and we are the applicant, the grantee, in partnership with a nonprofit board. There's another FQHC for the homeless called Sulzbacher. They have medical manager as their EHR. They use and supply. The University of Florida College of Medicine physicians have been Allscripts. They are a supplier, occasional user. They're moving to Epic. And then some other safety net groups called Volunteers in Medicine, WeCare. So it's really the safety net, because this is uninsured and Medicaid. Now, if we're going to grow this thing, we have to get all payers, commercial insurance, a lot of private physicians out here. That's a lot of work. Somebody's got to pay for that. That $4 million would include Cerner or some vendor doing all this management work and training, and that's one of our problems. I cannot afford to send my scarce staff out and do a lot of training and upgrade on this. I'm waiting for that $4 million contract to be signed and turn this over to a for-profit or a non-profit. Yes?
So is it all claims data, or are these partners with EHR?
There are some EHR-type clinical data. There are some lab results. Memorial's giving us their hospital lab results. But it is mostly claims-type data, so you could tell there was an ER encounter. You could find the ICD-9 diagnoses, the procedure codes, but you would not see the clinical summary, usually, from that ER visit or that hospital discharge. You would know there was a discharge. You would know the ICD-9s, but it's mostly claims-type data. It is incomplete.
So even the organizations that do have EHRs or...
Well, you can be an organization with an electronic clinic management system. That's what we are currently. The health department is, we don't have much EHR-type data going in there. It is mostly our clinic management demographic-type data. But we do have ICD-9 codes. It's billing claims-type information that we are currently able to provide, even though we don't have a fully grown EHR. We will, we hope, in a year and a quarter. Yes?
Are you all able to use this, or are you currently using it for grant writing, community health assessment, and other sort of non-clinical functions?
Yes. Yes, we are. And we use these data for quality studies. We've used them to help apply for and win and reapply and win a disease management Medicaid grant. And those nurses are among the biggest users for routine care and for special studies to look at ER use and hospitalization prevention data. That's one good thing about Manage It. We can pretty much do the kind of quality studies we'd like, with permission of the board, of course. So, what about statewide HIE? This will be overseen by the Medicaid agency, as you see up there. It has an HIE coordinating council of about 20 people. I'm on that, along with an attorney from the State Department of Health. Most things come through there about statewide HIE. The vendor is Harris Corp. They have a website, of course. They're a big global communications and IT company. They do the National Air Traffic Control System, for example. And they were quite involved in NHIN. And now they're quite involved in, Florida's their one state HIE. It will be a federated model, a network of networks, and the initial priorities, this is pretty much straight from ONC, Office of National Coordinator of Direct Secure Messaging, patient record lookup, and then public health reporting. But we have had pretty good success in getting public health on the radar screen. As you'll see in a moment, I have a diagram of the FHIE. And we hope that Central Office, Department of Health, and the 67 CHDs will be early participants in these early priorities. So we have put in applications and proposals to do just that. It's nice that we can do it in one application instead of 67 or catch-as-catch-can. And so my colleagues in the county health departments have been very supportive of this. Sometimes I get a blank stare, like, what are you talking about? But they're coming along. And again, the big ones are the most involved, the medium somewhat, the smaller. We have a lot of rural health departments, and they're saying, okay, where do I sign? Just getting started on a lot of this. This is the architecture for the Florida HIE. Time does not allow getting into the depths of this other than to some basic points. It will be connected, of course, to the NHIN. I want to point out the County Health Department icon here. We will seek a license, a free license of Express, which is an exchange type license with a master patient index. We do not have one at present. We have a license. We don't use one yet, but we will, and we can apply that to many different public health systems. Of course, the hospitals, the big practices, the Florida RIOs will be involved in this. There are 14 applicants for early adoption of patient lookup. We put in an application for all the county health departments. We would start with claims type data, and then eventually we'd be EHR data. We're on the waiting list. The three entities that were approved for early adoption were Pensacola, which has a multi-hospital exchange going, believe it or not, between the Navy Hospital and other hospitals, which is impressive. I don't know how they did that, but they did. Tallahassee, which has had a RIO operating for years, exchange. And then a new one, a big hospital system out of Orlando, Florida Hospital System, has been approved to be an early adopter, but there are many others, and we're one of them. So that's beginning to go. And this we presented on Monday, and this is our architecture for the statewide electronic health record and all of its connections. And here's where I wanted to mention where we stand on meaningful use. first of all, the EHR part of this, which would be the inner blue circle, the core components are actually our clinic management system. That's our platform, homegrown with some off-the-shelf components.
That's working now.
It is operating now. It's been going since 1989 and has a number of commercial components. And then our EHR system is mostly over here for like primary care and dental, but we've had other case management components, maternity and infant, HIV, AIDS, TB, et cetera, going for some time. Meaningful use there, I'll show you a schedule in a moment, that's to get Medicaid bonuses. Got it. The other meaningful use component is, will we as a large health department be able to receive meaningful use reports from EHRs? And the answer is we hope so. We expect to through the state central office. And for syndromic surveillance, we use Essence. And for disease reporting, we use a system called Merlin. And for immunization registry, we use Florida Shots. And the central office plans to put up a website where these extra newer reports will be filed and available for review by the Medicaid agency, by approved users from county health departments, and so forth. So we'll be able to receive those thanks to the work of the central office. I don't have a lot of time left, but we're going to have time for Q&A, and we can come back to this slide. We could talk for a long time about this, but I'm going to move on. This is our timeline for the statewide electronic health record. The core content is in this set of rows, adult, pediatric, specialty program templates, patient education, and other certification-specific components are underway with, this is development, so up till now, we are on schedule with development. We're in process in this quarter, and not yet started would be the quarters coming up. Basically, we're working toward launch by third quarter or fourth quarter of 2012 and trying to get certified in fourth quarter of 2012 and hopefully start the meaningful use process and those nice Medicaid bonuses of $22,000 per clinician. We think we have up to around 500 eligible clinicians. So there could be up to $10 million in the first year to help pay for this and other things that are going on in our shrinking budgets. The middle set of columns or rows would be electronic ordering. We have already successfully piloted and launched eLab with MDON as our partner. We'll be pursuing ePrescribe. In this row, we're trying to settle on a vendor there. That'll be an off-the-shelf vendor partner. And then eRadiology is still pending. And then HIE in the bottom area. We'll be connecting this to the state. And throughout this, privacy and security top consideration. So we're going to take questions here in a moment. RECs, we're involved with the Orange counties. I mentioned that earlier. The applicant, the awardee, is the CHC Alliance, also known as Advancement of Health IT. They are a FQHC network vendor for health IT and management services to many FQHCs. Florida has three other RECs, and the other county health departments are working with them. Almost all of our CHDs are signed up to receive technical assistance and training for the HMS EHR, and Tom's office is coordinating that. I've already mentioned those. By the way, we are trying to create a Department of Health HIE with our partner Harris, which is pretty exciting as well. And our contact info, or my contact info. So be pleased to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. We'll now have questions.
Joel Greenspan. Bob, just super presentation. My kudos to you for all your hard work and leadership. I guess my question to you is, how many of your counterparts in similarly sized county health departments these days could give a similar presentation? And if they can't, how can you leverage the things that you have done in terms of leadership, infrastructure, training, partnership development, et cetera, to make this model that seems so potentially successful, successful in other areas?
My colleagues are pretty interested in this. We have an organization, the Florida Association of County Health Officers. I have presented to them frequently, and we talk about it quite often, and they receive a lot of these presentations and slides, and they vote. They vote on the funding of this, and I have to actually get on the phone and bring them up to date on what we're voting on. Most recently, e-prescribe, they had to agree on up to $25 per clinician per month when this is launched. That's the initial pricing we have come up with for e-prescribe. And they'll have to cover that out of their reserves or clinic revenue. So ongoing, and they're very interested. The director at Orange County, Kevin Sheeran, some of you may know him, he's interested enough. He just joined the NACHO Public Health Informatics Work Group, and that's the last thing he needs, another committee. He's really into it, and I've encouraged them to get involved with their RIOs, and he's becoming more and more involved. The Central Florida, Orlando, is very aggressive. They have a big new RIO and exchange effort going on, and he gets it. And there are others in his region as well. It's more challenging with the small and medium side, but some of the mediums are pretty involved too. My Metro colleagues, we have a working group, and I talk to them all the time about it. That's Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, Orlando, Tampa, and St. Petersburg. But they're on board.
My question was beyond Florida.
Oh, NACHO Public Health Informatics Work Group. We're trying to put the word out across the nation. We do webinars and so forth, trying to spread the word.
Yeah, we're really trying to leverage a lot of the education and training opportunities right now. I would say that although it wasn't overstated in the data that Golzar presented earlier, of large local health departments, over 86% of them, meaning those serving populations of over 500,000 plus, are very much engaged. It's the medium and smaller health departments where we are really trying to expand our efforts. One of, I think, the key components here in terms of our educational outreach strategy for them definitely includes selling the value of how this will support public health or population health aspects of their work, particularly for those that do not provide any sort of direct care or clinical services. And so that, I think, has really been the point for which we're beginning to see an increasing interest. We are hopeful that we will be able to obtain additional funding support to continue to do some research to expand our knowledge of exactly what their capacity is, particularly over the last year and a half as meaningful use has taken off and given sort of a spotlight on the public health aspects of meaningful use and the ability of local health departments to now have expanded sources of data or information that will inform preventative services and other public health or population health aspects of their work.
Yeah, we're working with vendors. We have a lot of webinars, and our message is pretty clear. Get involved with your exchange, get involved with the state health department, get involved with your REC, and work toward interoperable public health systems across all your programs.
So one quick addition, Bob, to what Valerie was saying was some context information is that the 500,000 plus local health departments, actually there are very few in the country. So it represents very small proportion, 100 and some. Even 250,000 plus, there are total 263 in the country out of 2,800 or so. So that's some context information to keep in mind, meaning that there are many that needs that help.
I apologize if I missed on your slide, but do you have a public health lab?
We have a state lab,
but
I do not run a lab. The state does that, does it very well, and they are e-lab connected. In the back. I think you're right, and to summarize what you said, the leader of the local health department needs to be very involved. I agree. Does not have to do it all, can delegate it. One reason I'm able to do a lot of this, I have people I can delegate this to, and I think I've convinced them that this is an important overall public health priority. We're all busy, but it can help us do our work better inside and outside in many different programs. And those programs need to get on board, those systems, and be more interoperable and have better reporting and capabilities, local and state and national. Well, we're on time.
I actually have a question for you, Bob,
okay,
before we go. And what I'm wondering is that what is your vision of how the work that you're engaged in your jurisdiction and in your state, how that will impact work across the continuum of care? And in particular, I'm very much interested in how, for example, human services and the ability to expand case management practice beyond public health and health care into human services. And have you given any thought to how that might connect?
I've been thinking about that. And there are some examples of very progressive things going on. One of our work group members, Uma, from Montgomery County, Maryland, is doing some wonderful things there. She's a social worker and county health department, human services director. We have more work needed in that area. Our work group identified that as a priority. I will be working on that with my colleagues at the local level. In our case, it's the Department of Children and Families and their field office. Medicaid is very important because they do a lot of eligibility work, and we do share some systems with Medicaid at the local and state level. But a lot of work to be done. Mental health, we participate in a mental health planning project, and they want to get on board. The mental health providers saying, what about us? So it's an important additional area we need to get on with while we try to get our own house in order. Meanwhile, in public health.
I think one we have time for one last question, Lillian.
Hi, Lillian Shirley from Portland, Oregon. Thinking about the future, how do we carry these systems into accountable care organizations?
That's another area I've been thinking a lot about. Those are new concepts. A lot of scrambling going on by organized medicine and hospitals to start to create them. I think we need to try to be at the table. And it helps if we're, if our clinicians, if our medical directors in public health can get on board with that. The same thing goes for quality projects, quality collaboratives, which are part of accountable care organizations. So I have assigned my chief medical officer to be involved in a lot of these things. I'm a physician, so I can also do that too. Another really important newer concept.
So we're at time. Thank you all. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you, Bob and Goldbar.